Okay, check this out. I only have 3 spots left for Elevate 2025 at the time I'm recording this. Now, I only invite 10 men each year to go on this epic coaching adventure with me, so time's almost up. If you're wondering whether Elevate 2025 might be for you, know this. The men we work with have typically achieved some level of success, yet still feel unfulfilled. They're also men committed to rising above the distractions and compulsions, sabotaging them from living their fullness as men. They're eager to be better husbands, fathers, bosses, entrepreneurs, just better men in some meaningful way. That's what Elevate 2025 is for. It includes personal coaching with me throughout the entire year, alongside a select group of trustable men going through this experience with you. And we meet in person for an epic 5-day retreat in the American Blue Ridge Mountains as well. You will be challenged to go beyond your comfort zone, but that's where the magic happens. It's where real change happens. And you'll be stepping into an inspired brotherhood with men who have your back, creating deep friendships with these trustable men who will become your brothers for life. This journey will help you connect to your deepest purpose, more fully offer your authentic self and your unique gifts to your loved ones, to your community, and to the world. If you're intrigued, learn more. And if you dare, apply at brianreeves.com/elevate. Now, this isn't for everyone, but if you think it might be for you, apply now. Just take the next step. This could be one of the greatest gifts you ever give yourself, the gift of brotherhood with extraordinary men on an epic adventure in 2025. Go to brianreeves.com/elevate. That's Brian with a Y, reeves.com/elevate for details and to apply. And again, remember, I've only got a few spots left for 2025. All right, let's get into today's episode.
Howdy, it's me, Brian Reeves. I'm recording this episode of my Men This Way podcast, which might be undergoing a name change before too long. Should I say it now? What we're thinking of? No, I don't think I will. I'm gonna hold that close. But this is just me today. This is a special little bonus episode that I'm recording right now. I came up to the mountains to the east of Los Angeles. I always get a little confused. I'm from the East Coast, and going away from the ocean meant going west. Out here in California, going away from the ocean means going east, and that always kind of trips me up. So anyway, but I'm in the mountains. I came up here with a new male friend of mine, a beautiful friendship with another man that's been unfolding in the past few months since my wife and I have come back to California, John Kim, aka the Angry Therapist. And so anyway, I'm wanting to record this episode because I want to share just what's been so on my heart recently. I'm thinking a lot about men's initiation rites of passage. And predominantly the reason that I'm thinking about that is because I know so many men in our modern world have never undergone any kind of intentional rite of passage from boyhood into manhood. Now, I'll tell you a little story about how I grew up. So my father left when I was 4 years old. Him and my mom divorced. And, you know, my dad was a very adventurous man. He went across the continent. I didn't see him for 2 years. And then, you know, he came back into my life in and out, you know, over the next decade or so. But he's very adventurous, and especially, you know, he was very much an explorer. I mean, even in my teen years, he would take me on these trips out west. You know, in a van that he had, we'd go to a Hopi Indian reservation in Arizona, met with a medicine man there many, many years ago. We went to the Badlands up in the Dakotas, just traveling through. I remember bathing in the Snake River in Montana outside of Jackson. Anyway, just he was a very adventurous man, and he was exploring different religions. He even experimented with like Islam and Judaism. And so he was very, very adventurous. And I really am grateful for that. He gave me the gift of a curious mind in many ways. But he would say this thing you know, I'm a teenager, and I would like want to, I would ask him these big questions. He was exploring the occult and physics and like psychic, I don't know, you know, reading people's minds and being able to, you know, we'd be driving on the highway and he would kind of use his hand to sort of scan, feel the energy of like police beyond sight. Like, were there any cops on the road? He would use his hands to feel that out. You know, he was into past life regression things. And anyway, I would ask him a lot of questions, and I'd had these questions that were kind of like, Dad, when will I know? You know, when will I know who I was in a past life? Or when do you think I'll be able to astral travel or you know, have out-of-body experiences? And he would always say this thing. He would say, son, you know, when you're ready, when the time is right. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. You know, it like gave me something to look forward to. It was very exciting, actually. And he would say that over the years, and it kind of pissed me off, but it was kind of like, well, fine, I'm, you know, I get, I'm 15. Sure, I guess I'm not ready. You know, so much so, one day I wrote a book called Initiation about a woman's past life regression experience, you know, believing she was this whole memory she had of being an ancient Egyptian priestess or something. And anyway, it was fascinating and interesting. And I decided, well, it's time for me to initiate myself. I was probably 17, maybe 19. Maybe I was already at college. I don't remember exactly. But I told my dad and my stepmom, who was, you know, his metaphysical muse in many ways. She's like the oracle in the movie The Matrix. And she also really helped open my mind to ask bigger questions about the world, about life. And so anyway, I decided I'm going to initiate myself. I mean, nobody else is initiating me. Again, I wasn't consciously thinking these thoughts, but I was like, I need to undergo some ordeal. I need to go through some. I need to cross a threshold is really what I was clamoring for. And my dad wasn't offering it. Nobody was offering it. I'd already been in a fraternity and at that time and went through, you know, was hazed by my fraternity members as when I was a pledge. And, you know, that's a form of what we call pseudo initiation, you know, but it's just boys initiating boys. There was no men, no wise elder men, including my dad, really stepping up to offer any kind of thoughtful, intentional, initiatory rite of passage. So on some level, I instinctively knew, well, I better just take it upon myself. And so I had them drive me to a cave in Louisiana. No, sorry, in Kentucky, outside of Louisville, Kentucky. This cave that was more like a man-made rock quarry carved out of the side of a big hill. And it went, you know, 2 miles, you could drive 2 miles into this cave. So I had them drive me about, you know, half mile, a mile into this cave. It was dark because it's a cave. And you could drive into it. It was gated up and everything, but somehow they had access. Anyway, they dropped me off. I was going to stay there for 3 days, you know, probably 2 nights, 3 days. And they dropped me off, you know, with a lot of excitement and trepidation. I remember I took like grapes. I took candles. I think I took some magazines. I had no idea what I was doing. And my dad didn't give me any guidance, you know. And so anyway, I think after like maybe 10 hours, maybe a day, I was so bored out of my damn mind. I was expecting, I don't know, to see apparitions or ghosts or be visited by spirits. I don't know. I just knew I needed to cross a threshold. And I just got so bored. And so I ended up, you know, gathering my shit, walking towards the entrance of the cave. Now, they had driven 3 hours to drop me off. They weren't due to come back for a couple of days. But as it turns out, when I walked to the entrance of the cave, you know what? They were waiting there for me. I guess my stepmom had a hit that she knew that I, on some level, this is that motherly maternal protection thing. I don't know. But she knew that this wasn't, on some level, I don't know. She didn't know I'd be there. And I was. I was done. And so, you know, I got in the car and we drove home and we marveled at how they knew I was going to be there. And not 2 days from now, but right in that moment. And tripped out on that ever since. But bottom line is, you know, my dad would always tell me, you know, that when you're ready, when the time is right, right? Like, it all will be revealed. And, you know, the thing is, that day never came. It never, ever, ever came. Certainly not. Certainly not with him as witness. I'm 50. I went to visit him last year. I think I had just turned, no, I must have just turned 49. And I went to visit him. I hadn't seen him in a number of years. And he was still telling me I'm not ready on some level. I mean, he even used the words, I don't want to go into to the full story of my visit with him, but he even used the words, "You're not ready." And I remember asking him, "Ready for what? Like, dude, I'm fucking 50. What am I not ready for?" Like, he's still exploring, you know, all of this occult and past life stuff. And he has this big, big idea, big mission about, you know, his role in the world, all this stuff. You know, it's a kind of spiritual fundamentalism, you could say. And it was fascinating to be in the presence of this man who's, you know, late 70s, and I'm 50, and he's still hearing him say, "You're not ready." And I know on some level, you know, at least I have a story, I have a frame of where that's coming from and what that's really about. I mean, after all, my father was never initiated by elder men. He never underwent any kind of formal or, communal rite of passage that welcomed him into manhood, as it were. He was in the Army. He went through the Army just as I went through the Air Force. And, you know, we went through boot camp. And that's another really pseudo form of initiation, kind of, you know, where we men are initiated into a very, you know, unique flavor of masculinity, you could say. But we also get so much of our humanity lopped off, disconnected in that process. It's not a true initiation rite of passage is one in which we recover new parts of ourselves. We come more into wholeness, into fullness. We come back with a gift from the experience. We come back with greater vision, deeper clarity, a more full and complete sense of who we are. And the military doesn't really do that. The military gives you an identity, but it's not necessarily an authentic identity connected to your soul. So say fraternities. I mean, so, you know, I'm thinking a lot about rites of passage and male, you know, manhood initiation, because so many men. I worked with a man who was in his mid-60s, about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. He was an oil worker. By oil worker, I mean he, you know, Texas oil businessman. He owned an oil industry parts business, had been married 40-plus years, had birthed, I mean, he had grandchildren. You know, his kids were all grown up. His, like, you know, he had businesses. He had that business. He had, I think, at least 2 homes. Like, he was crushing it in life, you know, from the outside looking in. Of course, his marriage was, his wife had left him. He was recovering from that after 40 plus years together. And I'll never forget, you know, maybe a couple months into our work together, he said something to me. I can still hear his voice. He said, "You know, Brian, despite everything I've achieved and accomplished, the truth is, I have never really felt like a man." And mind you, I'm probably 44 or 45 at the time, and this guy is in his mid-60s. So he's, to me, is an elder. And telling me, you know, he's working with me, paying me to coach him, to work with him, find his way and navigate his way essentially into his authentic expression of mature manhood, because nobody had ever shown him the way. And I think that is one of the greatest epidemics that we are facing in modern times is the, you know, that what some of my, you know, teachers call the perpetual adolescence, a pathological adolescence that humanity overwhelmingly is captured by, with men leading the way in, you know, getting stuck in adolescent ways of being. And one of the hallmarks of adolescence is we don't take responsibility for our impact on others. We don't take responsibility for how we are necessarily showing up in the world. I mean, you know, more mature adolescents, sure, are beginning to understand their impact, and but it's true adulthood. It's true psychological adulthood within which we learn to take full responsibility, full ownership of how our impacts, of how we impact the world around us, of how our language. I remember, you know, in my 20s and 30s, before I was really doing any of this kind of work, you know, in my relationships, I remember wanting to argue with my girlfriends at the time. I mean, I'm sure I had this argument with every single girlfriend, not wanting them to take my words seriously, take me so literally, you know, even like, why put a label on us, that whole thing. And, you know, wanting to diminish the impact of language. And why? Well, because to acknowledge the impact of language would have meant to take responsibility for the impact that my language had on another person. Now, I'm married 9 years now. I really get the impact of a word on my wife, or the impact of a word that she may say on me. I'm very mindful about language because I'm aware of the impact. And it's not that I'm, you know, it's like in adulthood, you know, in adolescence, we kind of argue for absolutes. It's this, it's black or white. It's this or that. You know, the word has meaning or it doesn't. You know, we're either in a relationship or we're not. Or again, we're arguing to get out of the definitions, right? So as to preserve a kind of freedom, kind of an adolescent, shallow taste of freedom. You know, if I don't put a label on our relationship, then that means, you know, I can kind of still be free and do whatever I'm going to do. And I did that, you know, throughout my 20s and 30s. So anyway, I mean, these are just some of the hallmarks of adolescence, of the adolescent psychological mind. And you see this in a lot of men's work, if you will, that's out there today. That's really, I think the social media influencer world has really enabled younger men in their even 20s and 30s who still themselves are not really initiated men into their own adult psychological, you know, manhood, but have learned some things, you know, read some books. They've, I don't know, like I went through the military and I was an athlete. I went through lots of these pseudo initiation rites of passage. You know, I did ayahuasca, went through breakups, all the things, and, you know, had dark nights of the soul and you know, not knowing who I am. Like, there was a lot of these pseudo initiation rites of passage that I did go through, that most men go through. But the problem is, if, you know, to use that word, thoughtfully, but the problem is we go through these pseudo rites of passage, but we either aren't initiated into a mature version of psychological manhood, or we don't integrate the lessons from these rites of passage, right? So what I mean by that is, you know, let's say a man is making a lot of money doing, you know, work that is making him really comfortable. He's in his early 30s. He's successful at doing what he's doing. But then one day, you know, it's like everything's working for him. And then one day he gets fired, or the market changes and everything crashes, right? And all of a sudden he's left not knowing almost like who he even is, right? Because he was identified with his job, identified with his success. I mean, this happened to me when I got out of the military at 26. I was so eager to get the uniform off of my body. And yet, in the month after I separated from the Air Force, I had a nervous breakdown in a phone booth in North Wales because I didn't fucking know who I was anymore. And I was terrified. And that was a threshold crossing, right? And this is what I mean by, you know, Michael Mead, whose podcast interview just came out recently on my podcast. I think it's episode 136. He talks about the three essential aspects of an initiatory rite of passage, The first is separation. We have to be separated from our, you know, normal everyday life separation. And just real quick, hopefully I'm sitting outside on a patio, and hopefully, you know, using this mic, you're not hearing too much background noise. I really hope so. If you are, please bear with me. That should. There's a truck up there doing something. But anyway, the three essential aspects of a rites of passage. One is separation. Two is threshold. There has to be some kind of threshold crossing, some ordeal, some kind of struggle or transformation that takes place. And then the third is the return, right? We come back to the community with the gifts of the rite of passage, with some new wisdom, some new insight, some, again, new piece of our own soul that is of benefit, will be of benefit to the world around us. And, you know, just like when I got out of the military, I crossed the threshold, just like when, you know, when a man maybe loses a job or goes through a breakup or, you know, just has some, or, you know, hits bottom in an addiction experience. And it is he gets thrust out of the comfort of his regular life, into a very uncomfortable chasm, you know, an emptiness, a what the fuck, who am I? What is happening here? How do I fix this? How do I get over this? And he has to put the parts of himself back together. Again, that is a threshold crossing. But a lot of men, we don't get the lessons from that because we don't have ritual elders helping to guide us, helping to steward us into the gifts of that experience. You know, it took me years after getting out of the military to make sense of what the fuck had happened. I mean, years. I was broken. I was disoriented. I was angry. Like, just so much was happening for me that I was a mess. You know, even I would go into intimate relationships with women, having, again, gone through the separation from my environment, crossed a threshold, but never really having returned with the gifts from the experience, still kind of just flailing about in the world, doing the best I can, even becoming successful again and making money and finding good work that was more connected to my soul. But in my intimate relationships, I was a disaster. I was a disaster. I actually, you know, I would turn intimate relationships into the containers of initiation. It's like I forced these women to become stewards of my ongoing endless initiation process into manhood. And I remember one girlfriend in my early 30s giving me this feedback. Not it was not kind. It was not helpful. And it was actually even a little cruel. But she would say, "You're not a boy. I mean, sorry, you're not a man. You're just a boy." And it was so fucking hurtful. And she was so fucking right. Now, again, it wasn't her place to be my ritual steward, right? My rite of passage steward. And yet this is the case for so many men. We turn our relationships unconsciously, unwittingly, because we don't have other men surrounding us. We don't have other men challenging us in respectful ways. We don't have any other men stewarding, you know, being stewards, being thoughtful, you know, wise, supportive, and challenging stewards of our pathway into a mature, responsible manhood. If anything, most of us men are surrounded by other men who just enable our adolescent impulses, and whose advice and support just sounds like adolescent silliness. You know, you're having a problem in your relationship, man. Yeah, bitches, man. God, women, they're so crazy. You can't trust them. You can't, man. You just need to take care of yourself. You know, it's like they have your back, but they don't have your relationships back. And again, because these men are not initiated either. They are not themselves functioning fully from a healthy, full adult, psychologically adult manhood. So anyway, I'm thinking a lot about this right now. It's just deep in my heart. Also, you know, because I'm you know, for the last 4 years, I've been working with men in a year of initiatory passage in my Elevate annual program and my year long Elevate program. And This year, Elevate 2025 is coming up in January. And, you know, I'm hoping that we get to do this again this year. You know, there's every year we get, you know, anything from, you know, 50 to 100 applicants. And this year we've had interest from about 50 guys. And, you know, we're still hoping to enroll men that really want to go on this journey. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll get to assemble that group to go through this profound deep dive experience of men holding each other accountable and of witnessing each other, celebrating each other, supporting each other, and challenging each other. It's a rich, rich experience. And you know, if you're a man that also feels like, you know, that the day of initiation never came for you, you know, whether your father gave you a promise that one day it'll happen, as mine did, and it just never came, or maybe you were never given that promise. Maybe your dad, you know, I know so many men, their fathers actually told them in no uncertain terms in some way, you'll never be a man. You'll never be like me. You'll never be smart like me. You'll never be good with your hands like me. Whatever. I worked with a guy the other day who was working on building a kitchen for the like remodeling his kitchen. And he is a big, big, gruff, old military guy, retired from the Marines. And it was the first time he was really working with his hands. And he shared with me that his, you know, his father had, when he was a child, his father said that he would cut off his hands if he found him working with his hands. You know, he called him incompetent. And just to be clear, you know, I changed certain details so as to preserve anonymity when I don't have someone's explicit permission to share their story. So, you know, I change identifying details. Just want to be clear about that. But the point is, so many men have had their manhood squashed by their dads, including even into old age. Like my father, he's 77, I'm 50, and he's still telling me I'm not ready. What? So we had a big falling out that weekend. We pretty much haven't spoken in the last 2 years since. We didn't have much of a relationship before that, so you know it's not been a major adjustment. If anything, it's been a full on acknowledgement of what actually has been true for 25 years, right? That my father and I he knew how to be, and I don't mean any disrespect to the man. I know he's always, you know, he's done the best he could, and I respect him for that, and I'm grateful for the gifts he did give me, but. I think he was a good father. And in fact, one of the last, when we had our falling out, you know, our final real confrontation, you know, about 2 years ago, one of the things he said to me in a letter he wrote me was, I don't like who you are. I wish you were I remember who you were when you were, you know, nice and kind and gentle. And, you know, just basically what he was saying is, you know, when you just agreed with me all the time, it's like he was a good father to a toddler, you know, to a boy who looked up to him. And I'm a man now, and I would never disrespect him. And if I did, I'd apologize immediately, but I get to have my own mind now. I get to push back. I get to have my own opinions. I get to be my own man. And he can't abide that. And again, I get it. Nobody ever welcomed him into his own manhood. So how can he, on a psychological level, it's not conscious, it's not intentional, it's not malicious, but how can he then welcome me into mine when no one welcomed him into his? Oh man, what a juicy, juicy, juicy topic. So yeah, if you want to do deep work, if you are feeling that call, right? If you know, maybe you've achieved all the success you ever set out to, or maybe you're still on the path to do so, still trying to figure things out. But on some level, you feel like, man, nobody ever really initiated me into my manhood as well. You know, I've been seeking, a lot of men, we seek our validation from women. We look to women to tell us that we are good men. It's not their place. That's not sustainable. The moment a woman has an upset, we're going to take that personal. If we think that her being happy and pleased with us is the definition of our manhood, wrong place to look for it, and guaranteed to fail and to frustrate. So reach out to me. You can email me at Brian with a Y, Brian with a Y, at brianreeves.com. Go to brianreeves.com/elevate to learn about Elevate, our annual program, and to apply. And I would really love to hear, you know, your experience of your journey of manhood. You know, where do you feel like you are on that journey? What do you feel like has been missing from your journey? Have you had wise elders or elder stewarding your journey, or at least someone you could really go talk to? Or, you know, if they were there, do you go talk to them regularly? Or are you, you know, similar to me? Have you suffered a starvation of elders, right? Are you elder starved? You know, I have an elder that I regularly talk to, John Lee, my mentor and therapist, and just brilliant. You know, he was an author and leader in the men's movement back in the Robert Bly, Iron John days. And oh my God, every time I get to speak with him, like my whole body is like breath of, you know, a sigh of relief. And so, you know, I want that for you. If you're a man, you're watching this, I want that for you. I want that for you because, or you're listening, I want that for you because also I know the ripple effect of that. I know the impact of you having that support around you, the ripple impact of that on the, you know, the intimate partner in your life, on your family, on your children, on your work colleagues, on the other men who are in your midst and who also are suffering often in silence. So thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Men This Way. I'm going to try to do more of these. It's easier when I get out to the mountains and I just have some quiet, and it's harder for me to do it in the city. But yeah, thank you for listening.